We have a special announcement.
Yes, we do. We are doing a live show for Melbourne Fringe.
Woo! It's extra exciting this year. It's all online, which is right up our alley. So we'll be recording a very special Melbourne edition of the podcast where we talk all things scary and spooky in Melbourne. The show is on November 25th at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm. And we're coming live to you from our pod office, so you can watch it from anywhere that you have an internet connection, phone, laptop, smart TV, iPod, if people still use them, iPad, sure, whatever. But yeah, so you can get tickets from our Instagram, which is just Dead Obsessed Podcast, or you can head to the Fringe website and just type in Dead Obsessed Live.
As you can hear from us, we're pretty excited about it. So.
We're so keen. I'm so nervous, but I'm so excited. We're going to have to do our makeup for once and like look presentable and not wear pajamas. Or maybe we will wear pajamas.
Yeah, I can't guarantee the pajamas thing.
There might be pajamas. Come and hang out. There will be a chat and stuff as well, so we can interact with you live too. So it's not too different. But this way you don't have to leave your house and we don't have to leave ours, which is great for introverts like us. So yeah. Grab your tickets, come on over, send us a message when you've got them. Let us know and we'll see you there. 25th of November, 6 p.m. from your lounge room or anywhere that you have internet.
Woo!
Woohoo! Bye!
Bye!
This is Dead Obsessed.
Right to go?
Yep.
Oh, now I feel like Dan Andrews.
Oh. Who's going first? What did we do last week?
I think I went first.
Yeah, because I did Madeleine McCann.
Mm-hmm.
McCann.
That was a big one.
Ah, McCann, you've done it again.
We made the same joke last time.
I can't help it. It's just part of me now.
Yay.
Okay, this is take three of this episode because Ash is having a mental breakdown, but that's fine.
Yeah, we're having some illiteracy issues today.
Yeah, more than normal and too many to be funny anymore.
I think it's still funny.
We're having a good time, but if anybody listens to this, they'll probably quit.
Well, they won't now because we've restarted.
Yes. Oh, God, it's happening again. All right. Anyway, I'm Ash.
I'm Laura.
And this is Dead Obsessed, if you didn't listen to the intro. So the story that I am telling today is the acid bath murderer.
Ooh.
Yes. So this fuck knuckle's name is John Hay. Oh, you like that?
I did like that.
Have I not said that to you once already?
No.
I love the word fuck knuckle.
It's so great.
It's fabulous. Yeah. And it begins in 1920s in the UK.
Yeah.
So I think he was born in like 1909.
Okay.
So Hay grew up pretty normally. There wasn't too much on his childhood or anything like that. He finished school early, went and did like a engineering-ish trade apprenticeship thing.
Yeah.
1920s equivalent in the UK. I don't know what
they
that is.
They handed him a shovel and said, use this, and that was about it.
For engineering? Yes.
Yeah.
Not a spanner.
No, not a spanner.
A shovel. Just hit the machines real hard and you'll be good. Perfect.
Yeah.
Milo wanted you to keep batting it.
Yeah.
But he didn't finish it.
No.
So he was very much the kind of guy that didn't want to be an employee. He wanted to be an employer or like a freelancer, whatever it is. He didn't want to do... he didn't want to be somebody else's subordinate.
Yeah, he's his own thing. Man.
Yeah. But rather than do anything in a legitimate way, he decided to become a forger.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's where his awesome. Criminal career starts out.
Yeah.
So it says that he was a vehicle forger, which to me, I think maybe like licensing papers or ownership papers, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He got caught pretty quickly and he then did a 15-month stint in prison for the forging. And at the time he was married, during his 15-month stint, his wife left him because why wouldn't you? And then he made friends with a dude in jail. And when they got out, they opened a legitimate dry cleaning business.
That's nice.
That's not sarcastic. It was legitimate. It was doing everything well. This is him being like, I'm the boss. I have a partner, but still nobody's in charge of me kind of thing.
Yeah.
But his partner was killed in some sort of vehicle accident. I found multiple things saying it was a motorbike or a car accident, whatever, doesn't matter, he's dead.
Yeah.
And then the business failed very quickly, like almost immediately.
Says a lot about Hay.
Yeah, so John Hay obviously wasn't doing shit. No. And had no idea what he was doing.
He was standing there being like, I'm the boss, but doing nothing.
Yeah, exactly. 1936, Hay moves to London. He gets a job as a chauffeur for a dude named William McSwan, which I just love the surname McSwan because it's also got two N's, and something about that makes me very happy.
Now I'm thinking about Scrooge McDuck.
McDuck. I just keep thinking of Elizabeth Swan from Pirates of the Caribbean, but I've been on Disney Plus too much.
We're watching the Pirates movies.
I've watched them all now, and now I'm going to start again.
Do it.
Yes.
They're good movies. Well, yeah. Some of them.
They're all great, even in terrible ways. But okay. They're all great.
I can agree with that.
Yeah. So McSwan is a wealthy theme park owner, which I think is the coolest job ever to own a theme park. But Hay wanted more from his career, so he set his ambitions on becoming a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Honorable, noble, you know, you got a hard work.
Could be legit.
Yeah, he didn't do it legally. At all. And then was caught and jailed for fraud once again. For 4 years this time.
He's a fraud at frauding.
Like, yeah.
He's not even good at it.
Yeah. A shitty frauder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't want anyone frauding documents who's shit. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'll take my frauding elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like you'd go to him to get a special kind of passport or anything, because it would just probably be crayons and glue, but
I am me. There you go.
Yes. Hello, my name is, and it's just one of those stickers, and then he's just in crayon written a new name on it and stuck it inside somebody else's passport.
He's gonna be like, okay.
Yeah.
Made it.
Perfect. This isn't worth $700. After serving his 4 years, actually, I don't know if he completed his term or not. I couldn't figure out. Anyway, but he served some time, and he was released just after the start of World War II.
Okay.
And then he was jailed again, this time for stealing.
Oh, my God.
So at least he's taking it down a peg. He's like, I'll try to not be as sophisticated as I think I am, and I'll just try and steal shit. And he's still not any good at that.
No. He should give up on this criminal life. He's not good at it.
Yeah, well, during prison, this time, he claimed, is when he would be dreaming and planning a way for him to con his way to riches without getting caught.
Because so he's like, so well.
Yeah, he's like, all right, I've tried three different things. I've got caught every single time. I'm going to use this time in jail, in this reformatory prison, to figure out how to commit the perfect crime. What else are you going to do?
Well, I mean, if you're in jail, you're with a bunch of criminals, I'd be researching.
You can learn from experience. Yeah. Can you imagine if they just had like a little brain workshop with like mind maps and shit on the walls and it's like written in some pedophile's blood or something? Like, it's prison, I don't know. And it's just like theft, ways to get caught. And then he just goes and asks everybody that's been convicted of theft how they got caught. It's like, what not to do.
Oh my God. I mean, I know we're joking, but I'm sure someone's done that.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I know they say there's like all these prison rules where it's like you don't talk about what you're there for, you don't talk about your case. 100% they do, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They compare tips and shit.
If they were smart, they would, but they're in prison, so they're not smart. Something happened.
Maybe that's why they're in prison. Market research, you know.
Market research. Market research for crime. What a better way. I wrote this. I don't know if I heard it or read it somewhere, but I like it. What a better way to commit a crime than to not commit a crime.
It's pretty intriguing.
Yeah. Essentially, what? Essentially?
Incentually.
Incestuously. No.
That's another thing.
That's a different crime.
Yeah.
Essentially, in Hay's mind, no body, no crime.
There's some very plausible, flawed logic there.
I said in one of the earlier things before we restarted, every time I say the words no body, no crime, I think of the Bob Marley song No Woman, No Cry, and I can't help it. Is it Bob Marley?
I don't know.
No Woman, No Cry. Fuck it. I don't care. After Hay's most recent release, so release number 3?
Yeah.
Yes. No. Yes. I was trying to count the amount of times he'd been arrested. Whilst working as an accountant for an engineering firm, which I don't know how he got that job.
He's not an accountant.
He's not an engineer. He didn't finish his trade.
No.
And renting a small apart in London on Gloucestershire Road, he ran into William McSwan again.
Yay, theme park man.
Yeah. So it was purely by chance in a pub called Goat Pub in Kensington.
Great name.
Worst. Not long after the re-encounter, so they became like really, really close friends.
Yeah.
Not long after the re-encounter, McSwan introduced Hay to his parents, who were very wealthy property investors. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why two adult men would be like, hey, you've just gotten out of prison for the fourth time. Do you want to come and meet my mum and dad?
Maybe they were special friends.
Maybe.
If you catch my drift.
Special friends. Well, I mean, he's not married.
True.
So they could be special friends.
They could be. We don't judge you.
No. That would make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes it so much sadder. Anyway. On the 6th of September, William McSwan went missing.
Aww.
I wonder what happened to his theme park. No, that's not. Okay.
That's not relevant.
No.
We'll still think about that, though.
Yeah. It would later be found that Hay had hit McSwan over the head after luring him to his basement. Don't ever go into anybody's basement, ever.
If anyone says, hey, come check out the basement, you say no, and then you walk away.
Yeah, unless you're in That 70s Show, because that basement was dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go with the group. Maybe that's the advice.
Never be alone and never enter a basement.
Yeah.
So he lured him into his basement, hit him over the head, and put the body into a 40-gallon drum. He then filled it with concentrated sulfuric acid. And 2 days later, Hay poured the sludgy remains of William McSwan down a manhole into the sewer.
The word sludgy makes it so much worse.
The word sludgy. I put that in there specially because I just wanted to say it.
It worked.
I'm glad. It got the mental Thank image you. Going. Thanks. You're welcome.
Sounds like a lover's quarrel to me. I'm just saying. If they were special friends.
Well, maybe. That's, maybe. Yeah, because it doesn't really say what he got out of it.
No.
Yeah. No, he gets something out of it. Okay.
Okay.
Hay told Donald and Amy McSwan, which is the only person that ever texts me is in this room with me. What is that about? It's Optus.
Aww.
This is my phone provider. I told you nobody texts me except you. Hay told Donald and Amy McSwan, who are the parents, that their son had fled to Scotland to avoid military service. Because that's World War II.
Everyone was enlisted.
I was acting like a penguin.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Penguin.
Hay somehow ended up... And they totally believed him. They were like, fair enough.
Yeah, sounds like our son.
Sounds like our son, the theme park... Maybe he was gay. Theme park owner. I don't know why that makes you gay, but... Anyway.
It's all coming together.
Yeah. So they were like, oh, yeah, fair enough. Sure. Hay somehow ended up taking over the McSwan household. So I guess because he was like, oh, you know, Will's fucked off.
Yeah.
You know, you guys need help. I'm an accountant and a lawyer and I have vehicles. I don't know how the first one fits in, but I can help you. And, you know, it's not like he was a stranger walking up to them or anything, you know. He was introduced by the son, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, this is their son's special friend.
He's in a manhole. So he ended up taking over the household. And towards the end of World War II, the elder McSwans were concerned as to why their son had not returned, since he couldn't be called to service now because the war was essentially over. On the 2nd of July, 1945, not long after they made this question, Donald and Amy McSwan disappeared.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Hay had lured them to the same basement, which I think is so much worse, where he had killed their son. This time he shot them in the back of the head. So he probably realized that hitting over the back of their head was too hard, too much effort for somebody that doesn't like to work. Placed them in drums, filled them with acid, and poured the remnants down the sewer once again. At least they're all together.
I was thinking that, and then I made myself sad.
Sorry. Hay took the McSwan's pension payments and sold off their properties. In 1945, he claimed about £8,000, which today is roughly £350,000. In Aussie dollars, that's about $640,000, which is a metric fuck ton to that's me something. Right now.
I wouldn't mind that money.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to liquefy people to get it.
I'm not against it. No. I'm kidding.
Well, thanks for listening, guys. I'm out.
You don't have any money.
True.
What am I going to get from you?
My dog. Uh-oh.
You can keep socks. I love the little potato, but he will kill my rabbits.
True. Moving on.
Hay then moved on and moved himself into a hotel in Kensington.
Okay.
Because, I mean, who wouldn't want to live in a hotel?
He got dollars now.
He got them dollars. Well, he got them pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1947. Hay had spent nearly all of his cash on gambling debts. Now we figure out what the fuck his problem is.
Uh-huh.
He came across Dr. Archibald Henderson.
I love these names.
They're so good! And his wife, Rose.
Aww.
Yes. Who were selling their home.
Okay.
So that's cute. Hay feigned interest in buying it in order to get a bit closer to them. And then not long after that, he rented a workshop in West Sussex.
Right.
So he was living at the hotel. He didn't have the basement anymore. So he's like, fuck. I'm going to have a workshop. That's not where I live as well. On the day of the 12th of February, 1948, Hay took Dr. Henderson to his workshop saying he had an invention he had to see, which I just love the concept of that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like in my head, it's very steampunk and gears and spinning steam and shit. It's 1920. It's not like that. But they had electricity.
It's awesome that that's plausible, too. Like, you could just walk up to your friend and be like, I have an invention to show you.
Yeah, come to my workshop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you'd be like, what?
Send me a picture. Fuck off.
You built something?
You built something? Check Kickstarter first. I bet it's already there.
Yeah.
Hay then shot Dr. Henderson in the back of the head with his own gun, which Hay had stolen from the doctor's home earlier.
This guy's a scumbag.
Yo.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm. Hay then went back to get Mrs. Henderson, saying she must come as soon as possible as her husband had fallen ill.
And she ran
off. I wonder if this dude was a good actor or not.
I mean,
I'm really curious, or if they were just like, this dude's fucking weird, but all right.
See, I'm picturing like the, you know, like that sociopathic charm.
Yeah.
You know, where he can weasel his way in, people love him, but then he's like, whoosh,
dead. Yeah. With a whip. Indiana Jones style.
I don't know why I did that.
Yeah. He then shot her in the back of the head and both the bodies were placed in oil drums and filled with acid. Yeah.
Where's he getting this acid from?
I don't know! I think I wrote that somewhere.
See, when you said dry cleaner, I'm like, oh, this is probably where the acid is, but dry cleaner's gone. Where's he getting the acid?
Why would they have sulfuric acid as a dry cleaner?
See, I don't think they have sulfuric acid, but at first, before I knew it was sulfuric acid, I'm like, oh, well, now I know where he gets the chemicals from.
Just bleach, yeah.
Yeah, but no, I don't know why you would have sulfuric acid as a dry cleaner.
I mean, if that other dude from my other story can just fucking buy 5 pounds of cyanide as the minimum, I guess, and that wasn't even that long ago.
It was wild in the 1900s.
Yeah. He then again managed to forge letters from them and sold all of their possessions, totaling, once again, £8,000. So
he's done it again.
Yeah, roughly about the same. He sold everything except for their dog, which he kept. Thank God.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Does he treat the dog well, though?
I don't know, and I don't want to look into it. Nearly a year later to the day, the 18th of February 1949... Hay, who was now 40 years old, took a fellow hotel resident, Olive Duran Deacon.
Another great name.
Who was 69 and widowed to his workshop.
Vulnerable.
Yeah. Hay had been claiming himself an engineer, and dear sweet Olive, I like the name Olive, I just don't like her surname, had an idea for false fingernails, which I just love. For some reason, just imagine this little 70-year-old lady, like, in a big fluffy fur coat that lives in a hotel. She's got pearls and her husband's dead. And she's like, I want big nails.
Woo!
I've got an idea. Use my teeth. Hay shot Olive in the back of the head, stripped her of all her valuables she carried, including her expensive coat, and put her into what we would then call the acid bath.
Okay.
2 days later, on the 20th of February, Olive was reported missing by her friend Constance Lane, and in brackets I wrote, what a fucking Bronte sister's name that is.
That is very Bronte sisters.
So this, as far as I could tell, this was the only time one of his victims was ever actually reported missing. Because he's been killing families, essentially.
Yeah, like he knocked off the first lot, but they're a little unit. Then he did the couple.
The husband and wife.
And now poor Olive.
Yeah, and it's not like they had cell phones.
True, they're not going to be like, yo, where are you at?
Like it was very new to even have a landline phone. Mm. So, you know.
That's sad, though.
Yeah. Once Olive's disappearance was looked into, detectives discovered Hay's family bucket of crimes. Why did I write that? Some might call it criminal history, but I call it a family bucket of crimes.
Wow.
And I call it a lesson in review of how to get away with absolutely nothing.
That's a good point.
Police found a dry cleaning receipt for Olive's expensive special coat, likely needed to be cleaned because it was covered with blood and brains.
That's grim.
That's the liberty there. I don't know if that's true. But also on searching the workshop, they found 3 human gallstones.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's grotty.
So I don't know what he did with the liquefied sludge again. He must just continuously pour it down manholes or something.
I mean, I wonder...
But the gallstones must have been in the bottom of a barrel or just on the floor somewhere when he rinsed it out.
They usually solidified into crystals, so they probably weren't corrosive with sulfuric acid.
Maybe. But, like, if it's in a barrel, you'd think he'd tip it all out.
Yeah.
Unless somehow... Anyway, doesn't matter.
Let's not think about that one too hard.
Yeah. when questioned, Hay is quoted saying, "Well, if I told you the truth, you would not believe me. It sounds too fantastic to believe."
Fantastic is not how I would describe it.
Yeah, I agree. But then I also think about it a little bit about how they would have used the word fantastic then.
I mean, it still has positive connotations, though. Like, it's
sometimes.
Sort of
a lot of the time, it's just, like, wild and insane is also another fantastic. Anyway, that's not what you fucking say when somebody accuses you of murdering, 6 people.
Yeah.
Yep. I can count. Hay ended up confessing to the murders of the McSwans, the Hendersons, and Olive Duran Deacon, but apparently 3 more.
Oh.
A young man called Max, a girl from Eastbourne, and a woman from Hammersmith. There are some reports that say these 3 additional victims were entirely fabricated in order to convince the police that Hay was insane and therefore have something to mount his defense on. Mm. Which, duh, of course he was fucking nuts.
Yeah. Normal people don't liquefy other people.
No. The Attorney General actually urged the jury to ignore the insanity defense since there was a shit ton of intent and pre-planning involved, which, fair enough. His defense team got a statement from Dr. Henry Yellowlees.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. who claimed Hay had a paranoid constitution. This is a direct quote I cut and pasted. "The absolute callous, cheerful, bland, and almost friendly indifference of the accused to the crimes, which he freely admits having committed, is unique in my experience." In other words, he was a psychopath.
Yeah. I was about to say, that's a very early definition of psychopathy.
Yeah. It took the jury minutes to convict him and sentence him to death.
Wow. They were not messing around that day.
Yeah. before his death, Hay reportedly asked if there could be a rehearsal of sorts of his execution so it was all run smoothly. His request was completely ignored.
I just picture them standing there just like, no.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I just imagine them going, and then turning around and walking away.
Like this fucking guy.
Yeah. He was hung on August 10th, 1949.
Okay.
One more thing.
Oh boy. I love after facts.
Hay had actually agreed to model for a death mask being made by Madame Tussauds Waxworks.
Ooh.
He left his clothes to Tussauds, and with the stipulation that his waxwork was always kept spotless, with trousers neatly creased, shirt cuffs showing, and hair parted, he was in the Chamber of Horrors at Tussauds, London, from the completion of his wax model until its permanent closure in 2016.
So we can't go see it anymore?
No. No, they got rid of the Chamber of Horrors. I looked into this because I'd never really been interested in Madame Tussauds until I saw that there was a Chamber of Horrors at some point.
Yeah.
It was only in London. Mm-hmm. And it was closed in 2016, and it was in this old vault sort of area that used to actually be a kind of like an autopsy funeral morgue display.
Wow.
Because they didn't have databases to find out people, so if you had somebody that was missing, they had this in Paris as well. Mm-hmm. If you had somebody that was missing, you could go to essentially this open morgue and be like, "That's my cousin that's missing."
That's crazy.
That's how they identified people that had no identification or whatever it was. And then they turned that into the Chamber of Horrors. They had like all of like the famous serial killers, and where they had Jack the Ripper, it was just a shadow. So it was just a totally black shape of a dude.
Whoa.
Like as a shadowy figure, which I just got goosebumps talking about. I just think that's so cool. Yeah. But that's shut now, and I think there's something else there now. I don't know what it is. I feel like it was the Harry Potter thing or something. Yeah. Not as cool as the Chamber of Horrors.
I want the Chamber
of Horrors. But if the Chamber of Horrors opened up again, you bet your fucking ass I would go to Madame Tussauds, because I was not interested until they said that.
I think we went to it when we went to LA. Like the wax museum. And,
yeah.
But it was all the celebrities and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's just always celebrities or, like, famous people or whatever it is. And I'm just like, eh.
I mean, it was something cool to see. And mostly I just walked around figuring out who I was taller than. I was actually shorter than a lot of them, which surprised me.
Really?
Yeah. Because, like, I picture everyone in Hollywood being, like, 5'3".
Why?
I don't know.
It's like a recommendation that you have to be at least 6 feet to do anything interesting.
I know, and it's... well.
Unless you're a comedian.
True. Well, I don't know. I just had it in my head that, like, celebrities were really short. But I think it's just they're shorter than you think they are. Mm. But there's still a lot of them are very tall.
Mm.
So I was walking around being like, you're taller than me and you're taller than me.
Yeah. And then you look down, they're all wearing platform shoes.
Yeah, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was the acid bath murderer, John Hay, from 1920.
Basically a dude who wasn't good at committing crimes.
I mean, isn't that what most of my stories are about?
Pretty much. I mean, all the ones that we talk about, they've usually been caught. So.
Yeah. That's because unsolved things make me angry.
Are you ready to be angry?
Well, unsolved murders make me angry. Okay, unsolved mysteries, it's lizard people, and I know that, so it's fine.
Okay, so everything is solved to you.
It's always lizard people.
Okay, my story. So this one's confusing. It's not
great.
It's not overly complicated. It's just a bit confusing. So, this is the story of the Pollock twins. Have you heard of it?
I think so, but I also listen to a lot of twin stories. Twins and triplets run a very dangerous pattern in my family in terms of I'm in line now for both.
Yes. You're going to have quadruplets.
Fuck off. You can have one of them.
No.
Give you one.
Oh, I could keep it as a... No, I'm not going to say that. Okay.
You said you can keep it as a pet? That's essentially what children are. Yeah, so, like, my mum is the eldest of seven. Irish Catholics. Right. she has a set of triplets in her family.
Okay.
My nan has, like, 12 siblings or whatever. There's triplets and twins in that side. My dad's side of the family... my grandma is the youngest of seven, English Catholics, and she's a twin, and there was another set of twins somewhere in there, somewhere. Yeah, and then I think Tanner's family, at some point, there's twins in there as well, so I'm essentially fucked.
You have no hope of not having twins or more.
I don't mind. Okay, so Tanner and I have talked about this. This is not at all relevant to the podcast, but y'all are going to get...
It's relevant. Mine's about twins. We're fine.
Yeah, sure. Fuck it. It's my podcast. So I can do what I want.
Yeah.
Tanner and I have talked about it. Like, we want two kids.
Okay.
Right? Ideally, we would like a boy and a girl. But we also know that's not going to happen. So we've planned for two boys or we've planned for two girls, whatever. Mm-hmm. But if the first time... So the maximum we could possibly have is maybe four. Because if we have one the first time, we will try again.
Okay.
If we get twins, obviously we're done.
Yeah.
But there is also a potential for us to have triplets then as well. So we could end up with four.
Or have quadruplets.
Or we could end up with two.
Okay.
No, I'm not having quadruplets.
I'm just saying it can happen because I think if you've got twins on this side and twins on this side, they combine to make
math.
Four.
They combine to make four. Well, then, okay. I mean, realistically, if you think about it, I could end up with potentially nine kids.
You could be octomum.
I don't want to be octomum. I will throw myself off a bridge. I'm not doing that. I just pick the cutest ones when I give birth to them.
Oh, no. That's I'll so
keep,
me.
Keep those ones, give the rest away.
Okay. I'll take one of them, but it'll be a pet. I think you want to give it to me. I don't know what to do.
I don't know. You give your dog a lot of love.
I do.
You look after your dog more than you look after you.
But it's like when it needs to go to the toilet, I just open the door and just let him go.
You can do that with a baby. I'm going to have to cut most of this out. We're going to get so many emails being like, what the fuck?
What is wrong with you?
We do not... fuck it, whatever. What's the story? Twins.
The Pollock twins. We do not condone child abuse.
That's just what I wanted to say. Let's just throw that and out. And I couldn't think of words. No. I'm just going to drink my drink.
Yeah, just keep drinking. We'll be
Here's
fine.
Some ASMR of ice.
I love that sound.
Thanks.
Like I said before, the story I have today is very interesting and intriguing, but it's also confusing. So, before we start, the thing we need to remember is that there's two sets of sisters. The first set are named Joanna, who's 11, and Jacqueline, who's 6. And then the second set are twins named Jillian, who's 10 minutes older, and Jennifer, who's 10 minutes younger. That's why this story is really confusing.
Right.
So, to reiterate, there's the first set who have an age gap, who are Joanna and Jacqueline.
Mm-hmm.
The second set are twins, who are Jillian and Jennifer.
Right.
So, I've done my best to try and make this make sense.
Okay.
There's lots of me repeating myself because I'm reminding you which set I'm talking about, but...
I went to high school with twins that had the same initials. And I just feel like it's cruel. Although, now that I think about it, the two girls' names... And one of the boys' names, Tanner and I have the same first and last initial, but different middle initials.
Okay.
Anyway.
Actually, one of my friends is a twin, and in his family there's another set of twins. So there's twins, and then a girl as well.
Oof. That's too many offspring.
I love his mum, though. She just handles everything. She's super mum. She's in control.
Wow.
At all times. It's awesome. Yeah. he may listen to this, so shout out to Josh and his family.
Sup, Josh. There's too many of you.
You are not the first to say that.
And I will not be the last.
Okay. So this story takes place in a small town in England. Again.
Oh!
We're both in England today. Named Hexham in May 1957.
Yep.
So murderer guy is dead. We're fine. With a family named the Pollocks. So the parents, John and Florence, they had two young daughters named Joanna, who was 11. And Jacqueline, who was 6.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first set.
So the Pollocks are siblings, not twins.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, we'll get to it.
Okay.
Hang in there. So one day, something absolutely tragic took place. One day, while the two children and their friend Anthony, who was 9, just another boy, they were walking to church because they're good little kids.
Ew.
That
won't be picked up on. That didn't pick up on the recording.
I actually said ew.
Fuck so. You. Stop outing me.
I'm going to tell
mom.
I'm going to tell our listeners. So one day while they were all walking to church, they were struck and killed by a woman who was driving under the influence of drugs. The sad thing is, out of despair, she decided to commit suicide. By taking a lethal dose of aspirin and phenobarbitone, which is an anti-epileptic, anti-anxiety, and sleeping medication.
Phenobarbitone or phenobarbital?
Phenobarbitone is the ingredient in phenobarbital, which is like a drug name.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the truly awful part of this story is that it wasn't an accident. The woman deliberately hit the children.
What?
Because her own kids had been forcibly removed from her. So
that... Is she skipped a bit of logic there somewhere?
Yeah, she was basically high off her tits on drugs.
Did she think they were her kids? I guess she killed herself, so you wouldn't know.
What? Oh, no, she lived.
What?
Yeah. So basically, this woman was.
What? Sorry, hold on. What? I'm.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of questions in here.
Why would you not just try and kill yourself? Why do you have to take other random children with you?
I don't know. Basically, apparently she tried to kill herself by taking all the drugs, but then it was taking too long, so for some reason
she get in a car and go for a drive.
Yeah, got in a car, went for a drive, and then basically she's seen these kids walking around, and she deliberately targeted them and sandwiched them between the car and a wall.
I would understand if she went nuts and tried to kill the new family that her kids were with,
yeah.
Or anybody that resembled, like, the people that took them from her.
Yeah.
But if you're in so much pain that you want to kill yourself because your kids have been removed from you, why would you go and do that to somebody else?
The only thing I could think
of... I guess she's really fucked up on drugs. Yeah, but she's on even then... Drugs.
Well, the only thing I could think of is... And again, I couldn't find specifically what children she did have, but the only thing I could think of is if, hypothetically, she had 3 kids, she might have seen them and in her drug-filled state being like, I'm going to take them with me. And so she's driven straight into them.
Right.
But it's drug logic.
Why would she not just kidnap them? Anyway, sorry.
I don't know. All I can say is what happened.
Yep.
But,
I need to stop talking.
No, it's these are a lot of questions because it makes no sense. But this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So the woman was taken. The woman went on trial. She was found guilty, but she was taken to a psychiatric facility instead of jail.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the two sisters died at the scene, and Anthony died while being transported to hospital.
Right.
So all three kids died, which is truly horrendous. That's just the start of the story.
Right.
So, for the next part, there are some things we need to know about the parents of Joanna and Jacqueline. Both were practicing Catholics and had three other sons as well.
Which ones are Joanna and Jacqueline?
They're the ones with the age gap that we just talked about.
Yep.
Yeah. The others, the other ones haven't been interested.
Nobody else saw it, but I raised my hand.
Yeah. Questions? Anyone?
So many.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, they're Catholics. They have, like, five kids. Well, had five kids. I know. So as well as being Catholics, the father was a strong believer in reincarnation.
That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
This whole town is just full of people that skipped a logic step.
Pretty much.
Okay.
For people who don't know, reincarnation is not a part of Catholicism at all. You believe in heaven and once you die, that's it. So he was like insane about reincarnation. Like he would pray to God for evidence that reincarnation existed. He was insane about it.
Was this before or after the death of his kids?
All throughout his life.
Oh. Because if it was just after, that would make a lot of fucking sense.
It would. Like, kind of, he was so in despair. He's like, they must come back, you know. That would make sense. No, he was just always being... I think I read somewhere that he read it in a book and he just became obsessed.
It's usually how people find out about things.
Well, he might have, like, heard it from a friend. But I think he read it in a book.
Right.
Yeah.
He was just reading, like, the Buddhist... What's a...
It's Hindi, usually. They're the big reincarnation ones. Do Buddhists believe in it too? We might be offending
people. I did a class on world religions. I can't remember shit.
Uh-oh.
Anyway.
Moving on. His wife, Florence, however, didn't believe in reincarnation at all. I know.
Florence is a lovely name.
I love that name. You can name one of your eight children Florence.
I already got my names picked out. Florence is not on there. Constance is.
Constance is a good name.
Mm. That's a seventh child backup name though,
but you could call her Connie for short.
I know, that's what I've written anyway.
Okay. So Florence didn't believe in it at all, and it was a major point of contention once the two girls had died, because John believed that God had killed his daughters as punishment for his belief. He was like, right. You believe in reincarnation, so I'm gonna kill your daughters. Which, like, Catholic God is vengeful God,
you know? Yeah, he's mean.
Yeah. Florence thought that this was complete nonsense, and it pretty
so
much...
So she's totally sane, yeah, and he's not.
It nearly destroyed their marriage.
Well.
So they nearly got divorced. However, one year...
Probably very good Catholics if they wanted to get divorced.
Well, true. But one of them also believes in reincarnation, so how strict
not very good Catholics.
I think they're the kind of Catholics that where they're like, we have to have a bunch of kids, but that's about it.
They're like Roman Catholics.
Yeah.
Wait, no, that's the wrong way around. Anyway. I don't know anything about religion.
Okay. Stop trying.
I drink my drink, not by my tongue.
Yeah. Okay, so they nearly split. But one year after the girls died in 1958, Florence fell pregnant. And even though her doctor predicted a single pregnancy, which remember, this is the 1950s, so they didn't have ultrasounds.
They still get it wrong now.
Yeah, they do. But basically they had the it's like a cone and you listen. So the doctor listened and he only heard one heartbeat. So he was like, it's a single pregnancy. You have no history of twins. But in October of 1958, Florence gave birth to two twin girls, Jillian and Jennifer.
Oh, so they're all the same family. I understand
same
why we didn't.
Same family.
Right, okay.
It's just confusing because all four of them have names, Jillian, Jennifer.
Yeah, that's rude.
Yeah. And despite the weird thing is there's no history of twins on either of the familial lines. So it was super rare for them to have twins. The doctor thought it was a single pregnancy. He listened. There was only one heartbeat, but then suddenly she gave birth to twins. So it was very unusual. This is where the story starts to get interesting. When the twins were born, they noticed that the younger twin... Okay, this is also where it gets confusing because they relate to each sister. So the younger sister that died relates to the younger twin.
Mm-hmm.
And the older sister that died relates to the older twin.
Yeah.
It's only 10 minutes apart, but it's still relevant. So this is where it gets a bit confusing, but I've done my best.
Okay.
So when the twins were born, they noticed that the younger twin, Jennifer, had the same exact birthmarks in the same places that Jacqueline, the younger daughter who had died, had injuries. Mm-hmm. So she had a small gash on her forehead near her eye where the daughter who had died had fallen onto a bucket and it left a scar.
Damn buckets.
Yep. Sometimes it said she fell into the bucket and then others said she fell onto it, which I was like, how?
It's a bucket. It's the same thing.
There was a bucket and an injury happened. And then the other one was, there was a small round brown mark on the left side of her wrist. So she had these exact same marks and she mm-hmm. was born a year later. As the girls got a little bit older, between the ages of 3 and 5, the parents started to notice some really bizarre behaviours, which had them thinking that the twin girls were the reincarnations of the daughters they had lost.
Hmm.
Yeah. Hear me out.
I didn't say anything.
No, you said hmm.
And we said, yeah. I don't even know anymore. I'm just going to turn my microphone off.
Okay.
I don't know how.
Okay. So, the first thing they noticed was that when the twin girls were born and they were kind of at this age, they bought a box of toys down from the attic that had previously belonged to Joanna and Jacqueline. The twins didn't fight over the toys at all, which is really not typical. Usually there's some bickering or something going on. Instead, the older twin picked out the toy that the older sister had. The younger twin picked out the toy that the younger sister had. And they were so excited because these were the best gifts from Santa, even though they'd just been given them by their parents and there was nothing to do with Santa for them. But they were completely correct. The presents were gifts from Santa when the older children got them.
I hate it.
Why do you hate it?
I don't know.
Because how did they know that?
Hmm.
Keep in mind, they're also like 3 years old here. So
I'm so uncomfortable.
Yeah. Wait, physically or like emotionally?
Both. I'm going to hold on to this tennis ball.
Okay. So, back in time a little bit. When the twins were 3 months old, the family had moved from Hexham to Whitley Bay, which was east of Hexham. However, as the girls got older and they were living in Whitley Bay, they were able to correctly recall details about Hexham, even though they hadn't grown up there at all. Like, they were 3 months old. They wouldn't remember anything. When the girls were 4 years old, the family actually moved back to Hexham and the girls were able to point out key locations they'd never been to, such as the school where Joanna and Jacqueline had previously attended, their sister's favourite playground, which they'd never played at, and they even knew the way around the park, like all the paths, how to get to the favourite swing, all this kind of stuff. They'd never been there. And the girls were just walking around being like, oh, let's go to the swing, let's go here, and the parents are just like, what? Yeah. So, another point, before the death of the two girls, Florence used to wear a smock to help deliver milk as part of the family's grocery business.
She's a milkmaid named Florence.
Yeah.
I can't handle that.
I knew you'd like that.
My insides.
My inside parts. After the girls died, Florence stopped working and therefore no longer wore the smock. But one day, John decided to wear the smock to protect his clothes while he was painting. The younger twin, Jennifer, came up to him and asked, why are you wearing mummy's coat? Even though she had never seen her mother wear it before, and when asked how she knew it was her mother's coat, Jennifer replied, she wore it to help deliver milk. She'd never seen her mum work, or wear the coat, or anything. So how did she know this?
Hmm.
Yeah, hold on to the end.
Okay.
I do go in, I've seen you be like, this is bullshit. I go into it.
Lizard people. Yep.
So, the twins would also discuss the events of the car accident, even though they were far too young to even understand the graphic details of what had actually happened. Like, they're 3 to 5.
How the fuck are they not having nightmares?
Pretty much. Well, they do.
Okay.
So.
It's fine then.
Yeah. If they're traumatized, it's fine.
Yeah.
So.
As long as there's something in here that makes sense.
Yeah. So even though they were far too young to even understand, you know, car accidents, injuries, things like that, they would still talk about it. And they would also refer to the events in present tense as if they were reliving it. So they would say things like, the car's coming to hit us. And like,
ah,
yeah, it was, no! Like, it was like it was
no,
happening.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all.
You're going to hate this part.
Oh, great.
Florence also witnessed the girls playing a game that seemed to recreate the accident.
Fuck off.
Jillian was cradling Jennifer's head and telling her, the blood's coming out of your eyes, that's where the car hit you.
This is some demonic bullshit.
Yeah. The twins also had a very apparent phobia of cars, and they would scream and cry whenever a car revved its engine, whenever they were suddenly approached by one, when they were walking on the street and there was like a road, they would cling to their mother, they'd be terrified. They're also 3 to 5 years old. Yeah.
I'm not having a good time.
No. You're on struggle street.
I see why we didn't do this last week.
No. Imagine this and Madeleine McCann.
Oh, fuck.
That's why I was like, I think I should do something else. Okay, so the twins also exhibited the same personality traits as their corresponding sister. So the older twin, Jillian, would often mother her younger sister in the same way that Joanna would have mothered Jacqueline, which are the age gap sisters. She was also very mature for her age, the same way Joanna was. The thing with this is sometimes I'm like, well, that's common. Like, yeah, older siblings are usually, but what it was noted was that these sisters took it to a whole new level. Like, they would actually mother their sister and they would comfort them and they would, like soothe them, and they would do all these mothering things, which was more than just being an older sister.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of went to that other way, and then the twin started doing the same thing to her twin. So there's not even, 5 years between them like there was with the other sisters.
Yeah.
Both twins also showed the exact same interests as their older sisters, which had included combing people's hair, especially their father's.
That's normal, yep.
Pretty normal, but they had the same interest in their father's hair in particular. So they didn't want to do their mother's long hair. They always wanted to brush their father's hair.
Hmm.
Dressing up in costumes and putting on little shows. So they like to do acting, and the twins did the same thing.
Yeah. That's kind of normal kid shit.
Yeah. It's just that it's the exact same. So the kids aren't sitting there being like, oh, I really like coloring, or I really like doing this. It's the same as their sisters. Mm. Where am I up to? When the twins were learning to write, Jillian immediately knew how to hold a pencil properly, whilst her sister Jennifer would hold the pencil directly upright, which was a habit that her younger sister Jacqueline had at the same time of her death.
I still don't hold a pencil right.
Neither do I. I hold it like this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like,
I do. I've got two. I can't do it without a pencil in my hand.
Yeah. Wait. What if do I have a pen? No, I don't have a pen. All right.
I do it like this.
That's kind of how I hold it, I think.
I used to.
I think I just hug it more.
We're using a TV remote.
Yeah. So I'm like wrapped around like that.
That looks like a claw shit.
Yeah, it does. So with this pencil thing, right, because at first I read it and I was like, so what? But then I remembered they're twins at the same age learning how to write at the same time.
They should kind of be the same developmentally, yeah.
Yeah, but one of them knew exactly what to do and the other one had this weird upright position in her hand. Yeah, she would write like this, which is more spooky when you think about it. Physically, there were also eerie similarities between the two sets of sisters. The older twin, Jillian, had the same slender build as her older sister, Joanna, and also had a splay-footed gait, which is like your feet go out.
Duck feet.
Yeah, same as Joanna again. They had the same thing. Jennifer, the younger twin, however, had a larger build and the same birthmarks, which we talked about before, that Jacqueline had.
Mm.
So it's like them come to life again, but they're twins again. Something really interesting, and we get a bit technical here, but it makes sense. So something interesting about the birthmarks and the birth shapes and their body shapes and stuff. Because the twins are monozygotic twins, which means they're born from the fertilization of only one egg, the twins are completely identical genetically.
Mm.
So there's no reason that one twin should have birthmarks and one shouldn't. They should be the exact same.
That is weird.
Yeah. They also, the birthmarks also couldn't be explained by any sort of injury in the womb or during delivery.
So you know, the older one was just kicking the other one in the head.
But they're like these tiny little marks, right?
Yeah.
So that was just something to, like, a bit of proof there, where they were like, even the doctors are sitting there being like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
By the age of 5, it's okay. Scary part's over. So by the
age... trying not to sniff into the microphone.
Just do one big sniff.
I can't, I've got a septum piercing. That doesn't work like that.
Okay. That sucks. Ow, my legs are asleep.
I told you.
I really fucked myself up here. Okay, so...
deal with it at the end of the episode.
Okay. So by the age of 5, the twins' memories of their past lives began to fade, and they now have absolutely no recollection of the things they used to do as kids.
No!
Yeah. The only exception being that Jillian, who was the older twin... she has one vivid memory of playing in a sandbox with her brothers at a house in
Wickham. She can perfectly describe the house and the garden, which matches the description of the family's old house where Joanna and Jacqueline used to live at some point in their lives. However, Julian was never there. She's never visited it. And of course, she wasn't even alive. So where does this memory come from?
How old is she when she has that? She still remembers it? Or?
Yeah. So now that she's adults, she just has this one. Adults.
She's two adults.
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. So she just has this one really vivid memory. She doesn't remember the rest of the stuff she did as kids.
Yeah.
Or she did as a kid with her sister. But she just has this one really vivid memory. Both of the twins. Wait, am I up to this part? Yeah, so both of the twins have gone on to live full lives. They're happy, they're healthy, which of course is great news. So, what to make of all this? Skeptics believe that because most of the evidence was primarily given by the parents, one of whom was already a believer in reincarnation, that the stories are all lies, or that the girls were manipulated to behave in a certain way or told stories of Joanna and Jacqueline by either of the parents, the brothers, or other members of the family.
Yeah.
However,
it's a bit of a stretch.
Many believe that the girls are irrefutable proof of reincarnation, and that even if the children had been fed the information, they were far too young to carry out such an elaborate scam. Like, could you imagine telling a three-year-old, this is how I want you to behave, this is the story of your sister?
Can you imagine getting a three-year-old to do anything you want it to do?
Yeah. So it's kind of like people were like, oh, well, maybe they were manipulated, but it's like children at that age are not very coherent. So it's not really likely that it could have been some big ruse. Where are we up to?
Doop, doop, boop, boop.
It's also interesting to note that Florence, the mother, was an outspoken non-believer of reincarnation, yet she has the exact same accounts of what happened with the girls. They tell the same stories, and she says it all happened as well. But she's just like, I don't think it's reincarnation. I think it's a big coincidence, but they did do it.
Yeah.
So that's just something interesting. A little footnote I wanted to add, because I didn't have time to go into all of this, but something I wanted to add was that during my research, another case of monozygotic twins believed to be reincarnated spirits was also mentioned.
Ooh.
Yep. So in... okay, these are Sri Lankan names, so just bear with me.
Bless you.
Indika and Kakshapa Ishwara.
Bless you.
Thank you. were two twin boys who were born in Sri Lanka in 1972. But what's interesting about these boys is that the people whose spirits that they were reincarnations of were not related to the family. They weren't related to each other. They were completely random people. So, yeah, they had nothing to do with anything, but they still exhibited the exact same indicators that the Pollock twins had, such as, you have a very puzzled look on your face.
I'll explain later.
Okay. So they did the same things that the Pollock twins did, such as talking about things they couldn't possibly know, remembering past life memories, had the same birthmarks as the people that had died, physical similarities to the deceased, all this sort of stuff that their families couldn't explain.
Right.
Because of time, I couldn't go into the full story, but it is really interesting just how similar they are. So it's things like one of the people that was the spirit, they couldn't actually identify exactly who it was. But another one was an elderly man who had died of disease, and he had like this cough that he could never explain. Turned out the old guy had died of a cough, and it was all things like that. So,
how did they? My puzzled face was
okay.
With the Sri Lankan boys, how did they know that they were reincarnated, and that wasn't just what their fucking kids were like? If they didn't know them, they weren't related. Did they just go to the doctors and be like, we think our kids are reincarnations of somebody else? This doesn't make sense. Because that seems like a jump.
Well, it's because they would... It was just really not typical for their age. So they would talk about things that never happened. They would have strange birthmarks. I think the birthmarks was for the one where they did find out who the spirit was. The other one, they're sort of like, we don't know. But both of the twins would say really strange things, do really strange
kids
things.
Kids say weird shit all the time.
Yeah, but it was like coherent stories, though.
Okay. It wasn't just, like, child nonsense.
No, it's not.
That's when my brain was like, imagine if they're just talking about random shit and then the parents like, he must be reincarnated.
Oh, no, it's like, it's all standard life stuff. So they'll be like, oh, yeah, like, I had a wife, or, I don't know, this one didn't
imagine a three-year-old talking about his wife.
This is the stuff they do, though. Like, this one didn't have as crazy stuff because they were kids reincarnated as kids. So they didn't have too much outlandish stuff. This one didn't have...
Wife and an office job.
Yeah.
Big purple van.
Yeah.
It's the 70s.
But
Yeah, so with the Ishwara boys, I didn't deep dive into it. I wanted to, but it would be like another hour of me going into it. But there wasn't as much information, so I can't remember specifics of what they did do, but it was all the same stuff, which I was sort of like,
Yeah.
So yeah, that was just something interesting to note. So
how publicized were the English twins?
Very popular. If you Google...
and then 10 years later, it happens again?
Well, I mean, I don't know how far news travels from England to Sri Lanka.
In the 70s. Pretty far.
Probably a lot. I mean, okay, I don't know how popular they were at the time.
Why am I always a skeptic when you come on here? I'm just like, I don't trust it.
This is like a pop quiz. No, I thought you meant like popular now. I don't know how popular they were back in the day. But, like, if you Google Pollock twins, a lot comes up. Yeah. And if you look into twins...
I'm just wondering if at any point did maybe the... Because, you know, there's always somebody out there that copies. If something supernatural happens, and it does genuinely happen...
Yeah.
Like...
They're like, oh, me too.
There's always someone out there that's like, they got money off that.
Yeah.
I won't be famous.
Well, I don't know how much money the Pollocks actually got off it, because a lot of people were skeptical.
Yeah.
They
were, but like, it's still attention.
Well, plus the
humans are attention whores.
Well, yeah, but it's also like,
so it's us, we're doing a podcast.
Yeah. But we like it.
Yeah.
But by the age of 5, the girls stopped remembering. So it's not like they were...
That's why I feel a little bit more genuine about that. But then the other ones. One, it's like two people that weren't actually related. Like, the reincarnations are two people that weren't actually related to each other. I feel like there's a lot more holes in that one.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I wish I could have had more answers, but I didn't go into it. I can do it next episode.
Yeah, we'll do a part 2.
All right, we'll do a part 2. I'll go into the Ishwara.
I want to know.
All right, I'll see what I can find out.
Yeah. That's really cool.
But yeah, no.
That's really interesting. Part of me is like... So there's two parts of my brain going right now. The first one is like, fuck yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's so cool. It's so, like, lovely that that would happen. Yeah. And then the other part of me is, I really fucking hope reincarnation's not real, because otherwise part of me is fucked. and at the same time, that part is like, I hope that's not a thing.
Yeah.
Because that's terrifying. But also, then part of my logic brain kicks in, and it's like... If reincarnation is real, it must be very picky.
Yeah.
Because the population's growing, and that doesn't make sense.
See, I'm a bit of a believer in selective reincarnation.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, very violent deaths, they might come back. Unfinished business, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Right, yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
But then the other part of me is just like, maybe the mum didn't believe in it. And the dad really did, but maybe they were doing it subconsciously with certain things. Like, they were noticing more similarities in things than what was actually, like, there.
I would believe that if...
But then there's a little bit too much similarities for that to make sense. So there's little bits, like, each part of my brain is like, I don't like this.
Yeah, I could understand if it was just little things, if they were like, oh, well, they have the same body types or...
Yeah.
Something like that. I'd be like, okay, I think they're really into it. But some of this stuff was just really bizarre.
Yeah.
The other thing to mention is a lot of this information came from a doctor who actually studied the kids throughout their lives.
Okay.
So there was this doctor guy, I think he started off as a skeptic, and he was like, oh, I just want to meet them. I want to see what's going on.
He's like, I'm going to prove this shit wrong.
Yeah. So he kind of met the kids, and I think he saw some of the behaviors. He didn't see like the games or anything big like that, but he saw the similarities. He saw the birthmarks.
Yeah.
He saw them talk a little bit about it. He saw the four
the birthmarks and the specific like memories and like reactions of the actual accident is the big part of my brain that's like, ah, shit. That makes sense.
Do you know much about generational trauma?
No.
So generational, and I have to...
It's a plane. I was like, what fucking noise is that?
They're coming to get you. So generational trauma is the idea that trauma that happened generations actually gets carried down throughout DNA. So
I mean, that makes sense. Deformities do.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't that?
Well, it's also things like generational racism and things like that. why is that funny?
Because I feel like I don't think that's a thing.
Well, it's not.
I think that's bringing, like, a racist parent bringing up a child to be racist.
Oh, it's...
I don't think it's in your DNA.
It's not in, like, attitudes and stuff. It's more, for example, children being born hardwired for anxiety from generational trauma.
Right. So it's in DNA and bloodlines and things
that. Would make sense.
Yeah, there's also all different types of trauma. There's also like birth trauma. So people that when they were born had really traumatic births, like being breech or things like that. They can have be hardwired for anxiety.
That would make sense.
But it's on the DNA level. But if you think about it in that sort of context, like one group calls it generational trauma, another calls it reincarnation.
Yeah.
This sort of side has more of a supernatural aspect because it's like she remembers what happened. But
yeah,
if you think about how people...
No, I think that definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
But I don't agree that racism can be a trauma that's passed down through DNA.
No.
unless you are like, it's against you not committing it.
No,
do you know
no.
what I mean?
Not like you.
People
aren't born racist.
Yeah, it's not like your great-grandfather was a Nazi, so now you're also going to be a Nazi because it's
in
your DNA.
Yeah, other way around.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's why I was like, what, when you said it, because I went the wrong way.
Okay, yeah. No, it's more like if your great-grandmother experienced severe racism and got traumatized.
Then you can have anxiety. Yeah, that makes sense. But the other direction is where my brain went at first, and I was like, what?
No, we're not born inherently. Could you imagine, like, newborns?
That's what I mean!
Black people?
That's why I was like, what?
Oh, no.
Okay.
That doesn't happen, guys.
Good.
Anyone who claims that is a lunatic.
That's where I was going to be like, are you okay?
No, I have to read more into that. That's a very basic understanding from what I've had of reading.
It's a cool concept, though.
It is very cool. Yeah, you can see why I didn't want to do it last week.
Yeah.
It's just there's a lot of keeping names straight in your head and who are we talking about?
You did very well with it.
Thank you. Yeah. I was sort of typing it out and I kept repeating the names and things like that. But I'm like, I think I have to do this.
Older one, older twin, older sister. You did that a lot and that was great. That made it a lot easier to keep track.
Yeah, I when I first read it, I tried to just do names, but it was just too confusing.
Yeah, because they're all fucking same.
Yeah, I'm just like, these are four of the same people. But I'm like, yes, they are.
They are. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that they sort of grew out of it and only sort of remember little tiny things adds credibility to it as well, because if they were still like consistently remembering stuff, I'd be like, somebody's feeding them something.
Yeah, and then once they're conscious of it, you can sort of be like, but this it actually sort of relates to my favorite thing that I think about a lot, which is that children are a lot closer to the spirit world when they're born.
So it's like kids see dead people and shit,
which is why they're 3 to 5 and they're remembering a past life of their sisters, which I'm like, proof done.
Yeah, no, I'm into that. I love that. That's cool.
Yeah, I think about that way more than I should.
I didn't know this story at all.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be about those the silent twins.
Silent twins.
Yeah, there you go. There's another one.
Yeah.
I'm less frustrated than I thought I was going to be, which is nice.
We were very frustrated in the start, but I feel like we brought it back.
I think I was more frustrated about the logic skipper of that woman.
The logic skipper.
Like the fact that she was like, somebody took my kids off me, so I'm going to go and kill somebody else's kids.
Yeah, fucked up.
That lady, fuck her. She doesn't make any sense. All right, well, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
We're really sorry.
Yeah.
I think we're less sorry
no,
this week.
No, we're not sorry. We shouldn't. I was thinking about this when I was washing the dishes the other day. I don't think we should be sorry because this shit's interesting and people want to know and people like it. So I'm not sorry.
No, we're not sorry. We take it back.
Fuck you. No.
Don't tell our listeners. Fuck you.
I was talking to you.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay.
Go for it. I'm used to your bullying. That's fine.
Anyway, thanks for listening. And we will see you next week.
Well, we won't see them. Because we can't.
Well, you'll hear us next week.
Yeah.
Is that better?
That's better.
Is Dead Obsessed.